This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue, White and Yellow podcast with the latest opposition preview. We're here. We've got Everton at the weekend. I'm joined by Christopher Beasley of The Echo. Chris, how are you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm good, thanks. Just having a lot of pre-match banter with some of the Leeds fans on the back of our Spygate piece. I don't think some of them were too welcoming to bringing that up. But yeah, it obviously does add a bit of spice to what is already a huge fixture for both sides.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, I had my little input on the Spygate piece. And anything with Frank Lampard being brought up with Leeds United fans can be quite a contentious thing, really. So going into it, Chris, just looking at the game as a whole and Everton's season, I guess the main question is, what's gone wrong?
It has been disastrous, to be honest. I mean, you look at where Everton were a year ago. I mean, last season, we'll come back to this, despite that defeat at Goodison Park to Leeds United, as recent as Boxing Day, they were second in the table last season. And obviously, they plummeted to finish 10th. But they should, on paper, be at least comfortably in mid-table this season based on what the ability they've got within the side. And they're nowhere near it. Absolutely horrendous run under Rafa Benitez. Obviously, just coming in, the most controversial appointment in the city's footballing history, never mind Everton's. It's not just that he was a former Liverpool manager. I think the fears were this was a manager who'd done very well in the past, but his best days were a long time ago. And that's how it proved to be. I mean, nobody would even have, even the most pessimistic Evertonian, I guess, would have thought it would have ended up as badly as it did under Rafa Benitez. In the end, those Anfield connections were just sort of like a side issue compared to what ended up happening. One win from his last 13 matches in charge that culminated with the sorry defeat at Carrow Road. I was down there in Norfolk that day when, you know, they were playing a Norwich City side who'd lost the last six in the bounce, hadn't scored in the Premier League since November, and scored twice in a couple of minutes against Everton and beat them 2-1. So, yeah, it's been a horrendous run of results. Rafa, to be fair, actually started well, and I think they had that point at Old Trafford in October. Everything was looking rosy, but then the wheels just absolutely fell off, and it's almost like the team has forgotten how to win, certainly in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously you've made that transition to Frank Lampard, and to be honest, Chris, there's I don't really from an outsider's perspective, it doesn't look like there's much of a plan there. Obviously, he came in and was it on deadline day, and then brought in Donny van de Beek and brought in Dele Alli. Is that fair to say that it does seem a little bit sporadic and scattergun?
To be fair, I think that Lampard did well. He was imposing himself from the start. He had this bizarre appointment period where they were going through all the different candidates, and they had Vitor Pereira, somebody without any Premier League experience. So obviously Rooney as well was the one who I particularly sort of throw my support behind. But Lampard was very much a unifying candidate. And when he came in, even before the appointment, because the appointment wasn't even announced until deadline day itself, he was busy behind the scenes working on the players he wanted, and Donny van de Beek was one of them. He pushed hard for him to bring that one through, and Dele Alli as well, because if anybody's going to play a tune out of Dele Alli, it'd probably be the most prolific Premier League goal-scoring midfielder of all time. You think if somebody is going to get him back to those stellar levels, and let's just remember a few years ago they were stellar levels, then Frank Lampard might be the man. So I think in that respect, the fans are actually pleased with what he's done so far, and the fact that he wants to play a passing style of play. Now, whether that is going to get Everton out of trouble or not, that is the big question, because it was all well and good last weekend, blew Brentford away in the FA Cup, but they absolutely wilted up there at St James's Park midweek. Newcastle, apart from St Maximin, not showing much quality at all, but they had that sort of fight that you need in a relegation dogfight and the attributes that you'd want right now in the season. Everton just aren't showing that. They're talented players, but you've got to question the mentality at times with this team, the lack of consistency, and the way, just whenever an opponent needs to pick me up or anybody needs a goal or somebody's been in a bad run, they seem to get it against Everton.
Yeah, I was going to ask you your first impressions of Lampard. I mean, the 4-1 win against Brentford, I think everybody sort of took note, you know, with it being Frank Lampard's first game, a few very good individual performances there as well. And then going away to Newcastle and putting in a really dire performance. Mm. I mean, is it just a case of the home form's going to be absolutely critical this season?
I think it will be, Connor. I think that that they've only won once on the road since Brighton in the opening month of the season. So I think it is going to be crucial. Lampard came into the club and he said how much he felt that Goodison Park would be a factor. He's somebody who's played there many times himself in his own illustrious playing career with first West Ham and Chelsea. And it was interesting, actually, Ben Foster sort of flipped that on its head today, mate. There's some quotes doing the rounds, how he says Everton fans are really horrible. And if you can get on their backs quickly, if they can't see that the home side are dominating from early on, it can actually turn. But I think that's where Everton need to sort of use the crowd to their advantage now, because Lampard has said how difficult it can be for opponents. And at least they are behind the team. They're behind the manager now. It's not like they were never against the team, but under Rafa Benitez, there wasn't that unity. It did get quite toxic at times. And whatever Lampard has done or hasn't done as a manager, he, as a man at the moment, he's somebody the fans are getting behind. He's only Farhad Moshiri, the new owner, well, that's it, who's been there for 6 years now. He's appointed 6 managers in 6 years. And Lampard is the only the second manager to have his name sung by the supporters. And that came in his first home game against Brentford, Carlo Ancelotti being the only other one. So there has been an instant bond in that respect. And he is somebody that they are willing to win in a manner that they've not always had with the other managers. So I guess that's half the battle. But yeah, I think the home form is going to be crucial, because they're not looking like, you know, any more performances like that at Newcastle away from home. You're not going to be picking up many points on the road.
So what do you think the big difference was then, Chris, between the Brentford performance and the Newcastle performance?
I think it was the mentality again. It was all well and good. Brentford were poor. And they're another one, I suppose. Leeds and Everton are going to be worried about that. Brentford looked like they could struggle possibly second half the season, and going into the running, they might be one of the ones who were sucked into it. Brentford were poor, and then Everton exploited that with the fans behind them. But it was totally flipped on its head up at Newcastle. The crowd were loud, as you totally expect going up to Newcastle. And that it's almost been like a double whammy, because what you've done, same as Norwich City, is they brought Newcastle back into play. Now, all of a sudden, they can see a chink of light at the end of the tunnel there, and they think, oh, well, we could pull off a great escape here. And obviously with Newcastle's finances, that could be massive for everyone, the Premier League clubs like Everton and Leeds, if they are still around there next season. You know, Newcastle are going to have massive spending power. So they're like the victims. They're bringing it all on themselves, like I said, but their own frailties, that they're allowing teams in and around them to sort of come from the dead, as it were, and sort of revive their own seasons. So, yeah, you've got to look at the character of these players. I don't think there's a question mark over their ability. Like I said, they should safely be within mid-table, at least, if not pushing for Europe. But they failed under a series of managers now, and that is concerning when you look at the character, especially, you know, when you need those sort of attributes in a relegation dogfight, which this is now.
Yeah, I guess when you're coming up against a Leeds side, Chris, some people might turn around and say, well, yeah, it's a good fixture because Leeds give you opportunities. But the unity within this Leeds United side and the sort of we will go till the death, like we saw at Villa the other night, it's probably something that at the minute is going to be a problem for any opposition, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You always know against Leeds United that you're going to be pushed for the full 90. You know that Bielsa's got something up his sleeve, and he's not going to make it easy for you. I mean, obviously, there's been times, you know, great teams like Manchester City just totally blew them away. Yeah. But on the whole, a team like Everton, who are operating on a similar level to Leeds at the moment, you know you're going to be in for a battle. And it's always been the same way against Leeds. I remember, obviously, last season, we talked about that game there, the way they took up, they played tactically. I think that they outmaneuvered Everton and Carlo Ancelotti on that occasion. It was a very high tempo game, but as we all know, it will be a very sort of different scenario tomorrow with the fans in there. That was off, see, I think Leeds' first Premier League win, league win at Everton since 1990. But with the fans in there, it will be very different. But like as Ben Foster has said today, I suppose from a Leeds point of view, if they can get at Everton quickly, then they'll be hoping that they actually flip it on its head and the home fans get frustrated and might turn against Everton in those kind of scenarios.
Yeah, it's interesting, Chris, because you mentioned obviously the fans not getting on Lampard's back. Obviously, you know, he's a fresh man through the door. They're going to support him. I presume they're all sort of, you know, backing the project that is Frank Lampard. But are you expecting if let's say Leeds were to get an early goal, not toxic, if you will, the atmosphere, but are you expecting a real sort of nervous and anxiousness, which could translates onto the pitch, doesn't it? It certainly does at Elland Road.
Yeah, I think in this, given Everton, I mean, that would happen under many circumstances, but I think given Everton's current predicament, that's particularly something that they could be wary about, because the form has just been so poor. I think it's 6 points out of the last 45 now, which if you translate over an entire Premier League season, it's 15 points. It's only Derby County has done worse than that over an entire season. So it's not just relegation form, it's like worst of the relegation form. So Evertonians are acutely aware of just how massive a game this is for both sides, particularly for their team now, because they have to stop the rot. If they get a couple of good results now, the next couple of weeks or so, sorts of builds a bit of momentum, brings a bit of breathing space. But if this run just continues the way it's been doing over recent months, then it's going to get more and more nervous. So, yeah, to go behind early to a team around them, like Leeds at the weekend, it really could be nervy times for Everton.
Are you worried about relegation, Chris? Do you think it's definitely something? I know league position, obviously, it's something that is a very stark reality. But do you think there's a sort of common consensus that Everton fans are generally worried about it?
I think they are, and for those same reasons that I've said before, this team shouldn't be anywhere near that. If you ask me today, will they go down? Say no. But it shouldn't even be close to that. It shouldn't be close. This is a team who should at least be in mid-table. But the longer this run goes on, the more you have to be concerned. They said, oh, well, the spine of the team was out. Yedimina, Decore, Calvert-Lewin. When they come back, they'll be all right. They said, oh, well, they have a tough run of fixtures. Once they're over that, they'll be all right. Said, once Rafa Benitez goes, they'll be all right. But they still haven't turned it round. They've only had that FA Cup result against Brentford. So until they actually start putting Premier League points on the board, it has to be an increasing concern, because that's one thing you can't change. You can coach players, you can make them better, but if they don't have it mentally, if there's something wrong in their makeup and that they don't have the character for this fight, then you could be in trouble, and that you can never believe that you're too good to go down. And that is becoming a concern with the fans, that the longer it goes on, the more you've got to sort of question the character of these players. It truly is a pivotal moment for Everton. Frank Lampard has emphasised that there's almost half a season to go and you shouldn't sort of put too much stock into these individual fixtures. But I think Everton just have to stop the rot.
Yeah, Russ has come in with a really good question here. And it's definitely something that we can develop on here, Chris. Question for you, Chris. Yeah. Where do you think Leeds can really hurt Everton? And I guess that's what all Leeds fans are wondering right now, Chris.
Yeah, well, I saw the players who sort of caught my eye in recent times, like Jack Harrison and Daniel James, who sort of you've added from sort of what was in the armoury maybe last season's, particularly James coming in from Manchester United. He's been one who sort of caught my eye. I think if you're going to be looking at what Everton have been like all season, set pieces. Everton have a wretched record when it comes to defending corner kicks, free kicks as well. They're actually quite decent at times. Used to defend quite deep under Ancelotti last season and were quite effective on it, but Set pieces have been Everton's absolute Achilles heel this season. Saw that up at Newcastle on Tuesday night, conceded from a corner kick again against Villa. They conceded from a corner kick the last home game. So, yeah, I don't know what the deliveries have been like at Leeds United in recent times, but it seems to be whoever it is from a corner kick, very nervous times for Everton.
Yeah, it's interesting. As well, we don't know the team news. Frank Lampard's press conference is at 1:30 in about an hour 15. Yeah, yeah. But it seemed it was like the walking wounded the other night, wasn't it, Chris, at Newcastle? And they have recently had a fair few injuries.
Yeah, I certainly think there could be a couple out from that game. Lampard's been playing with a back three since he came in, played the 3-4-3 in both of his matches. But Yerry Mina is now injured again. Yerry Mina, when he's on his game, is Everton's most dominant centre-half. But he's been dogged by injuries. I think he's probably played in less than half the available matches since he came to the club. And you could see that at St. James's Park. You know, he didn't want to go off, but it was a lost cause. He just couldn't continue. So looks like he's going to be out. And because of that, they either stick young Jarrod Branthwaite in or they abandon the free centre-half system. So it could be reverting to the flat back four at the weekend. And then the Mardy Gray, who I think did well at Elland Road earlier in the season and has actually been probably Everton's most consistent attacking player all season, most potent threat. Looks like he's out as well. I'll wait and see. As Lampard said, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but probably going to be a serious doubt for this particular fixture. So I think that'll be a bonus for Leeds to have those two missing. And like I said, if Mina's out, then it could mean a defensive reshuffle and different sort of formation. But on the flip side of that, I would imagine that Dominic Calvert-Lewin will step up back into the starting lineup to spearhead the attack at the weekend, because he's obviously been a big miss, came back at the start of January, but hasn't scored since he returned, and he's still not much sharp at the moment, but I'd imagine he'd come back to spearhead the attack.
I guess so. That's quite an interesting point there, Chris, because you're talking about Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Obviously, Donny van der Beek's not had that many minutes, really. Neither is Dele Alli. So you're kind of looking at that team at the minute, and you're thinking to yourself, with how fit Leeds United are and how long they can go for over a 90-minute spell, it might not be the best game for a Dominic Calvert-Lewin or a Donny van der Beek or a Dele Alli to really get up to speed.
Yes, it's like, it's either sink or swim, isn't it? I don't think there's any particular moment in the Premier League where you can easy sort of players in. But yeah, it's given Leeds' fabled fitness levels, it's certainly not going to be an easy one for them. It's interesting, at least now Frank Lampard does have options. Obviously, there's the defensive issues that we just spoke about there. So problems again there. But certainly with the new signings there, that there are actually changes he can make where he can do something different, where he can bring somebody in who can operate in a slightly different manner. Also, Anwar El Ghazi still hasn't played. He was cup-tied for the Brentford game at the weekend, like the two new deadline day signings. So there are options there for Everton. It'd just be interesting to see what team they end up playing. Like I said, he had gone the 3-4-3 the last couple of weeks, but I think his hand might be forced on this one now and sort of different sort of tactical approach. But yeah, from the point of view that Leeds are going to be pushing you all the way, maybe those substitutions might be crucial for Everton in the way you might be able to sort of change the game or move things around if they aren't going the way you want.
There's one player I wanted to touch on as well, Chris. There's Anthony Gordon, who is from what I've seen so far this season has been very, very impressive. And obviously with Leeds United playing a man-for-man system, do you think that there's going to be a lot of onus on Anthony Gordon to really press Leeds offensively if Damari Gray is out?
Yeah, like you said, if Gray is out, which we suspect he will be, the emphasis falls even more on young Anthony's shoulders. It's been a real breakthrough season for Gordon. And to be fair, that was one of the things Benitez did, in that if you'd play him on a regular basis. But I think Gordon's displays on the training ground made it that was just like a no-brainer, because he's actually been at times Everton's Gray, to be fair, has been the most consistent attacking outlet, but Gordon has really come on leaps and bounds in recent months. he just needs to add the goals to his game on a regular basis. I mean, he's finally broken his duck after like over 30 matches, got a couple against Brighton and Hove Albion. The first one was deflected. But yeah, he makes things happen. He's taking corner kicks, free kicks as well. It's always great when you have like a homegrown player to come through. He's not at the levels of Wayne Rooney or even a Ross Barkley at this particular stage, but he's certainly the best to come through in a few years now. And there's a lot of excitement behind him. And he's the sort of player that Evertonians can get behind. Local lad who always gives his all for the cause and has got something about him as well.
The midfield's an interesting one, Chris. Obviously, you know, normally you look at Decore as the player to really drive Everton on, but obviously it looks like he's going to be out of this one. Yeah. How do you expect the midfield makeup to set up? You know, obviously if it's a 4-3-3, is Tom Davis going to be in there? You presume it's the staple Allen's going to be in there, but who are the other two you sort of expect?
Tom is actually another one on the sideline. So midfield has actually been sort of the biggest puzzle in recent times, in that who you're going to have in there, because you've obviously got the Dele Alli and Van der Beek. To be fair, Van der Beek did well when he came on. Alli looked rusty and was obviously blamed for Newcastle's second goal, but I think both of those could be in contention for a start. Andre Gomes has been in there alongside Alan. Now, he's a curious player in that he can be great on the ball, did well against Brentford, pulled the strings there, but he can be quite a liability when the opposition have got it. And it's all well and good, you know, he's sort of schooled in Portuguese and Spanish football, playing for teams who, like Barcelona, who tend to boss possession. But when you're in the Premier League, you just can't do that. You're not going to be smothering teams with like 60-70% possession. And when the opponents do get it, basically he can't tackle. He's a big lad. He's 6'2", something like that. I think probably about 14 stone. He's a big unit, but he just can't tackle. And getting that balance right in there alongside Alan. So I just wonder whether Gomes might possibly make way and both of the new lads could come in. But it's going to be intriguing how they line up in the centre of the park, because that's the one area where you probably got the most doubts of how Everton are going to be setting up.
I've taken a look at Everton's fixtures and they're not that kind. I mean, I look at Leeds and I think there's some tough ones in there, but Everton's sort of last fixtures do stand out a little bit. And the reason I mentioned that, Chris, is because do you think that this game is a must win for Everton?
Yeah, I do. I think it is a must win. But we've been saying that for a while. We probably said that about Aston Villa when Duncan Ferguson came in as caretaker manager. I think Newcastle was a must not lose for them, and they lost that. So I think that that was just, you know, so Newcastle couldn't close the gap, which they did now, just a single point. So yeah, I think from Everton's point of view, and we keep saying this, it is a must win. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because then obviously Leeds would open up a gap of 7 points to Everton, which is, you know, when you're in those positions, you want to drag teams into it, don't you? You don't want to be left on a raft, really. But before we go, Chris, thanks so much for joining. Really appreciate it. Mate, I'm going to push you for a pitch.
I'm going to increase my popularity even more.
Chris, I think you actually got it spot on last time. You said 2-2, so there you go.
Fair enough. Everton have not kept a clean sheet in the Premier League since, I think, it's about 7th of November. Tottenham Hotspur was 0-0. So I won't be so bold as to say a clean sheet. But I've said it has to be a must win for Everton. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Everton.
2-1 to Everton. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time, Chris. Where can people find you for any Leeds United and Everton content, mate?
More at CBeasley Echo on Twitter. I'll just go onto the Liverpool Echo website and check out our Spygate feature, which you obviously have your contribution. It was a balanced piece. It had yourself and one of our colleagues from Derby. So you can check that out, or any other Everton Leeds content we were producing over the weekend.
Top man. Cheers for joining, Chris.
Cheers, Connor.